Yo, what's up, man? It's your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army. And welcome to Hood Radio. Yo, what's up, family? It's your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army. What's up, family? It's your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army. What's up, family? It's your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army. And welcome to Hood Radio, where we are honoring our own dreams, family. Welcome to Hood Radio, where we are honoring our own dreams, family. Welcome to Hood Radio, where we are honoring our own dreams, family. What's up, family? If you ask me how I do, I'm going to tell you I'm winning just like you. If you ask me how I do, I'm going to tell you I'm winning just like you. If you ask me how I do, I'm going to tell you I'm winning just like you. Because I'm winning, family. Because we winning, family. That's why I speak it, family. I speak it. I speak it into existence, family. I am victory in shoes, family. What about you? I am victorious, family. What about you? I am winning, family. What about you? What's up, family? It's your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army. And man, I must admit, man, I've been going a little crazy lately, family. I've been going a little bit crazy, family, because I'm really in my head. I'm really seeing what's going on in society, family. You know, I'm talking about, I don't even want to say in society, family. I'm really recognizing what's going on in the black culture, family. And it's challenging. It's challenging. You know, lately I've been running around doing this survey asking the question, do you believe that black men can stop murdering black men? And you wouldn't believe how many no's I done heard, family. You wouldn't believe how many people believe that black men can't stop killing black men. And I asked the question, why is that? Because black men ain't always been killing black men. But you know, it just might be me, family. You might not feel that way. You might feel it's okay that black men kill black men. You might feel that it's okay. You know, I was just looking at, it's early Sunday morning, family. I'm sitting here chilling. And, you know, I just be, you know, you get up, you thumb through the television sometimes. And I really can't watch television as of late, man. I really pull back from the television and the internet and things like that. And the reason I find myself pulling back, man, because I don't know, I no longer want to look at this imagery. I no longer want to look at how black people are portrayed in this society. I no longer want to look at how black folks always fighting. I mean, I really been sitting back and really taking notice. See, when I was a child, it wasn't a lot of black folks on TV. It wasn't. It was not a lot of black people on TV when I was coming up, family. You had your sitcoms and things like that. But, you know, the TV shows we had, matter of fact, I was just looking at it. What's Happening? We had What's Happening. We had the Jeffersons, Sanford and Son. Not a show. You had Ron Glass, the black dude that was on Barney Miller. You didn't have a lot of black people on TV when I was coming up. You know what I'm saying? You had your particular areas. You saw black folks and praise God. Right? But now black people all on television. Black people all on television now. You can't miss black folks on TV now. But when you see a black person on TV, brother and sister, tell me how they are portrayed on television. You know, when you look at TV nowadays and how the black person is portrayed on TV, man, it's crazy. I was just looking at, like I said, I be channel surfing. So I was looking at Stump the Yard 2. I was just surfing. And it was a scene where the brothers was, I guess the dude that was playing the Columbus role, he was out working, cleaning up the yard, you know, out there doing his landscaping job. Then these dudes, these brothers pulled up. They was part of the other organization, the dudes that be howling. They pulled up. They walked up on them. And those dudes were instantly beefing. And what I'm noticing is on television, black men are always beefing. Or running women. There are very few shows where black men are unified. You look at the movies, how are we portrayed in the movies? And you know what, man? You know, I could find myself getting frustrated sometimes because I might be the only one feeling this way. And I know I'm not the only one feeling this way, but I'm all I got. So I be in my head, right? And you know, you could be feeling a certain type of way, and you be wondering why other black folks don't feel a certain type of way. But I don't get caught up in that no more, because when I found out, I learned, that's why you got to study history, family. I learned that when Dr. King was doing all that marching, black folks was around here talking about, why don't he go sit down somewhere? Why don't he stop this? I'm talking about Dr. King, the cat that everybody be crying and foaming over the mouth and got a t-shirt over him and Dr. King birthday and all that. I'm talking about this man was fighting for us, and black folks was talking about he need to sit down and shut up. Did you know that? See, ain't nobody going to be like, man, we were telling Dr. King to sit down because it ain't make no sense. And we just was going to let everything stay the way it was because, you know, we was all good, you know. Why is it that black folks believe that what we are going through and what we are living through is the way it's supposed to be? Why do we as a people believe that we supposed to have murder in our communities? Why do we believe that, family? Why do we believe that? Why do we believe that we supposed to kill each other? I talked to one of my mentees yesterday. He was crying because his good friend got killed. And he got shot by another brother. Do you actually believe that black men are supposed to kill black men? I mean, do you believe it? Like, do you believe that? Like, it's one thing for it to be happening, right? But why is it happening? I mean, really, why is it happening? I was looking at the TV yesterday. I was looking at television yesterday, family, and I ran across this music video. And I believe the brother name was Bankroll Freddy. This boy had a money counting machine in his car. This boy had a money counter in his car. A money counter. This boy has so much money. He said he had put 2-3 million on camera doing a music video. And I was just sitting, I mean, this boy had money, y'all. I mean, this man, he had jewelry. And he in his music video, he was holding up like his jewelry charms, and they were showing how much they cost, and he had his cars, and they were showing how much it costs. And I can't sit up here and hate on Bankroll Freddy. I'm not. It's easy to do that. But my question is, what is the point of holding up all that money in front of the people? This ain't going to be your first time hearing me speak about this. What is the point? Who is telling that young man, hey, Bankroll Freddy, you need to stand up in front of everybody on camera and have 2 handfuls of money? You need to stand on this movie, this music video, and you need to promote your gang, and you need to make it rain, and you just need to have all this jewelry on, and you just need to stand up here and be that dude. You just need to stand up here and be Bankroll Freddy. Hey, man, I understand creating a character to navigate through life. I get it. Because society embraces characters. They do. I understand what Bankroll Freddy is doing as entertainment. I understand that. But I'm a grown-ass man. I'm a grown man understanding that. These children don't understand that. Right? And I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just from a time where what you did wasn't everybody's business, right? But nowadays, they make it seem like everybody got to know your business. Everybody. They make it seem like today that you got to tell your business. If you ain't flossing and acting like you got this, that, and the third, you ain't doing it. You ain't getting it done. How that boy get all that money, y'all? How did he get all that money, y'all? Is he really a drug dealer like that? Has the game changed that much that drug dealers stand on top of the game and let everybody know they're a drug dealer? I mean, I'm wondering, man. What is the answer? What is the answer? I don't think the answer is attacking Bankroll Freddy. I don't think the answer is attacking Lil Baby. I don't think that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that, because at the end of the day, bros, sisters, at the end of the day, them young men chasing their dreams, man. Them kids chasing their dream. Even if somebody then set them up to send us off, to send off the kids. When you get down to that individual, Bankroll Freddy wanted to be a rapper just like I wanted to play ball. He chasing a dream, man. When you chasing your dream, man. Who you are and who you been to get there is what the people gonna see. Bankroll Freddy ain't doing nothing different. These rappers ain't doing nothing different. And I listen to them. I listen to a lot of different, and they brothers. These young black men, bro. These young black men chasing their dream. They hitting their number. They grew up in the street. You know what I'm saying? And the thing that tripped me out here, they tired of that life. I was talking to a young man this week. Young man I've been working with for about a year. His name is Wayne. Wayne is from Chicago. He was working at McDonald's. And I talk to people, y'all. I talk to people. So I just started talking to Wayne because he's a young black man. And I talk to brothers. I talk to brothers. And come to find out, Wayne is from Chicago. So you know when I heard that, I was like, what's up, man? I'm from Chicago. He couldn't believe it, right? Wayne got a new job. He been working for over a year, man. He doing good. He trying to climb. Wayne was telling me a story about he had to go to the store. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. He went to the store, said he was coming back. And he said he heard a voice from behind that said, freeze, don't move. Wayne said he grabbed his pistol, pointed it behind him, shot twice, and ran. And he said while he was running, he was crying because he was scared. He was crying because he could have got killed. He was crying because he had to discharge his firearm and pull the trigger and squeeze. Don't know what happened and just ran. Right? It's several questions you can ask. You know, what happened to the person? Did the person get shot or whatever this, that, and the third? But my question to Wayne was, why was you out at 1 o'clock in the morning walking down the street, bro? That was a bad decision. Wayne shouldn't have been outside at 1 o'clock in the morning in the hood, walking to no store. That don't work. That's not smart. That puts you in a dangerous situation. You put yourself in a situation where somebody can stick you up, shoot you, kill you, rob you. And for what? A black and mild? You know, it's easy to turn your black. It's easy to think about, because it ain't easy to do it. It's easy to think about turning your back on black people. It's easy to do that. It's easy to act like black people problems ain't your problems. It's easy to act like to say I made it, so they gonna make it. It's easy to say that. It's easy to let this situation get on your nerves so bad that you some days you don't even want to come outside because you sick of all this foolishness, right? But brothers and sisters, it's been too many brothers and sisters that then got sick and tired. See, what we fail to understand is this ain't about some big hero from the clouds or some superhero like Dr. King or something like that. Dr. King wasn't no superhero, y'all. Dr. King was a black man that had a gift and he answered his calling. And people love to talk about how black Martin Luther King did this, Martin Luther King did that, Martin Luther King was running with women and Martin Luther King was doing that. Hey, man, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I tell you what I do know. I know that man put it on the line, though. I know he stood up for black people. I know that. I could care less what he was doing in his bedroom. That's his business. That's between him, his wife, and God. But when it came down to black people, Dr. King was standing tall. Dr. King stood taller than anybody we see today. Dr. King stood taller than anybody we seen today. And you know what? Even if Dr. King was running around with women, he doing more than these homies did today. You know, everybody want to harp and cry and foam at the mouth and talking about what Dr. King was doing in his privacy. But I tell you what Dr. King was doing in public. He was standing taller than anybody we've seen in today's society for black people. Dr. King wasn't running around here talking about he was everybody's this and everybody's that. Dr. King stood tall for black people. He doing more than these homies doing today. You think about a cat like Malcolm X. Malcolm X wasn't bought and sold. Malcolm X wasn't bought and paid for. You understand what I'm saying? Imagine if Dr. King and Martin Luther, Dr. King and Malcolm X and Mega Evans, imagine if those brothers had those bankrolls, that bankroll Freddie had in his hand. What would Malcolm X had did with bankrolls of money? Would Malcolm X have been on TV flossing in front of us and showing us what he got and what we don't have? Or would Malcolm X been putting that in the hood? Would Malcolm X have been putting that money in schools? Malcolm X had created employment opportunities for the brothers and sisters. I'm talking about if he was walking around with that money, that bankroll, Freddie and Lil Baby and everybody got all this money on their neck and all that. Would we see Dr. King and Malcolm X and Mega Evers, would they be walking around with $2 million worth of jewelry on or would that $2 million be in the hood? See, I ain't in the room talking about, oh, these young boys should be wearing this jewelry and this, that, and the third. I ain't on that. I come from a time where it all depends on what type of neighborhood you was raised in. Because back in the day, your neighborhood raised you. And they still raise you. Your neighborhood raises you. It all depends on the type of neighborhood. I grew up in a neighborhood that the homies, the big homies, didn't believe in putting rims on your car and all that. But some neighborhoods promoted that. But in my neighborhood, they didn't believe in that. They didn't believe in flossing. They believe in making some money now. Don't get it twisted now. Don't get it twisted. They believed in getting that money, but they believed that your money wasn't supposed to be seen. I was raised in the neighborhood where when it came to jewelry, you get you a nice chain, you get you a nice watch, you get you a couple of bracelets. You know what I'm saying? You get a pinky ring or two and praise God. And that's it. And that's it. And that's it. You have you some jewelry, most definitely, but you don't have all that jewelry because it draws too much attention. You get you one chain, one or two chain, no more than 2-3 pieces, man. No more than 2-3 pieces and you good. And when I'm saying 2-3, you can have a couple of watches. I ain't acting like you had to have the same chain, but how these cats be having 6-7 chains on? No, dog, no. Where I'm from, that draw attention. You can't be standing out on the block with 6-7 chains, homie. You know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is the brothers back in the day would have took the money to the hood. That's all I'm saying. I was looking at that little brother bankroll Freddie yesterday, y'all. And what I'm talking about, I don't know if that was his money. I don't know. But that boy had a lot of bands on TV, G. That boy was showing a lot of money on TV, G. You know what I'm saying? And it's just amazing to me. And being from the hood, y'all, I just ain't forgot, man. I have not forgot what it is to be from the hood, man. I'm 47 years old, y'all. I'm successful. I'm chilling. I ain't got to go back to the hood, bro. I don't got to go back to the hood. I ain't never got to touch my block ever again. I ain't never got to get down in the dirt with these shorties. I ain't never got to walk into another school if I don't want to. These are the facts. I ain't got to go back to the hood, y'all. I ain't got to be out here in these schools. I ain't got to do that. I do not have to do that. I don't got to do that, but I must do that. I must do that. I want to do that. Why? Because I'm from the hood, homie. And I ain't forgetting my people, homie. And I ain't mistreating my people, homie. And I ain't sending my people off, homie. I'm going to pick my sword and my shield up and I'm going to go to war for my people. Because you supposed to go to war for your people. Because they your people. You know, man, we got this game twisted, y'all. I ain't saying you can't have no cars. I ain't saying you can't have no jewelry. But what I am saying, you ain't supposed to be standing up in front of the hood talking about, look at what I got. You ain't got it. You ain't supposed to do that. You ain't supposed to do that. Now, you can do whatever you want to do. You're right. You can do whatever you want to do. But I'm talking about what you're supposed to do. I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about standing up. I'm talking about being a true warrior. I'm talking about laying the groundwork for the next generation to walk through the door. That's what I'm talking about, homie. You ain't supposed to be flossing and flashy in front of people and not helping them. You're not supposed to be holding up plates of food in front of hungry people. You're not supposed to be waving money in people's face that you know are desperate and they need money. You ain't supposed to do that, bruh. Now, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. Just like you ain't supposed to kill your own people, but it's plenty of black men running around killing other black men. We know that, right? We ain't supposed to be doing that, brothers. I'm sorry. And I don't care who do what, say what, live where, do what, say this, that, and the third. We ain't supposed to be doing that. And the thing that's cracking me up, man, you know, I'm in Georgia. And this sister, I just found out yesterday that this sister supposedly fell out the back of a police car. Her mama called the police because the sister was having a mental episode. The sister was having a breakdown. They called the police. The sister ended up dying, y'all. Somehow or another, she fell out the police car, y'all. Now, everybody in the room know that you cannot open up the back door of a police car from the inside. I ain't saying I've been in the back of a lot of police cars, but everybody in the hood know that. If you get handcuffed and put in that police car, trust and believe that door not going to open until somebody on the outside open that door. Somehow or another, the sister ended up falling out the back of a police car. She hit her head. She died 6 days later. That is terrible. That mother called because her daughter was in trauma. The mother called the police for help and her daughter ended up dying. That wasn't supposed to happen. Right? But now you got all these, you know, now here come the parade. The parade in town now, y'all. You got Crump. You got, what's your boy? They call him Reverend Perm. I cannot think of this brother's name to save my life right now. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. Reverend Perm. Got the TV show, everything. He was down here. And he was talking about they put $5,000 in the pot to bury the sister. And Perm, Reverend Perm, they say he looked at the dignitaries that was there and told them to put some money in the pot too. Right? Now, I ask this question. Black folks have come together and raise money to put somebody in the dirt. But Reverend Perm got $5,000 to put in that girl's burial pot, right? But how much money is he putting in the schools in the neighborhoods that his organization is running? How much money is Reverend Perm putting in the hood? I'm asking. And he got some money. He got a show on TV. I ain't talking about nothing crazy, y'all. I ain't saying he need to start a scholarship. I ain't saying that. But where is Reverend Perm? Because I cannot think of his name to save my life right now. But where's Reverend Perm putting money at to help the hood? Now, everybody can put five on putting that girl in the ground. But how many of us got five on building a future for our people? You don't hear black cats talking about nothing but foaming at the mouth, crying about the police. Hey, man, let me tell you something. Black people, if we want to do something about police issues and things like that, you know how we can fix that? By putting more brothers on the police force. I'm talking about conscious-minded brothers. I ain't talking about brothers and sisters that's going to go in there and get transformed and turn into the blue wall and then it's put your boot on the neck of a brother. No, I'm talking about brothers and sisters because they there right now. I'm talking about brothers and sisters that's from the hood, that want to clean the hood up, that want to fight for the hood, they want to protect the hood, and they want to put the criminals in jail and the people that's killing people. You damn right. I stand with them. I don't care if they police. If they want the people to be safe, they want the hood to be safe, if they want children to be able to walk down the street safe, doggone it, I stand with them. I stand with them against the nigga in the street selling dope, killing and shooting kids through the window. I stand with the police on that. And you should too. When it comes to the police, man, it's the same thing just like anywhere else, man. You got your good, you got your bad, family. It's just that simple. It's about who going to take their stand, though, and who going to stand up for what's right, and who going to have the courage to do it. See, we got a lot of tough guys, man. We got a lot of guys that act tough. We got a lot of guys that pop, but we got few people that got courage, homie. See, there's a difference between popping and being courageous. There's a difference between being tough and courageous. See, tough is one thing, to be tough, to talk tough. You know what I'm saying? To carry yourself tough, right? I was raised that, you know, you'd be like a lot of cats, you know, they say bad boys move in silence. I'm not a bad boy. You know what I'm saying? I was a ball player, not a thug. You talk cash in ball, homie. You let a cat know what time it is. Being from Chicago, once again, your neighborhood raised you and your coaches train you. I had a coach in high school that was a severe trash talker. Lewis Mackey Sr., my position coach. That man was my position coach for 2 years. That man talked most trash than anybody. And that's how he raised us. That's how he groomed us. We were serious trash talk. But we'll bust you in your mouth too, though. You know, and when I was on the field, I was talking to my teammates. I wasn't talking smack to nobody. I ain't say nothing to you unless you got it me. If you got it me, you was going to hear me, homie. But I was energy for my team, G. You know what I'm saying? Right? But when you courageous, you are willing to go into battle. See, it's one thing for the fight just to jump off. Or it's one thing for the ops to start shooting at you and you got to react to it. It's a whole nother thing when you know you're going to war. When the other side say you at war, you say you at war, you let them know we at war, they let you know we at war. And when we see each other, it's on. Matter of fact, we going to prepare to meet somewhere and fight. See, that's courage. It's courage to know that you walking into a fight. It's courage to know you walking into a battle. It's courage to know you walking into war and you prepare yourself for war. You prepare yourself for the battle. You prepare yourself for the fight because that's what you're there to do. It's not a game. You can go in there and get hurt. You can lose an eye. You can lose your life. You can really get your teeth knocked out your mouth. You can get stumped out. It can happen, family. And you about to go up in there. You don't know if they got weapons. They stand supposed to be hand to hand, but cats might have weapons. But you still got to go in there. That's courage. That's courage. Courage is when you know you walking into something that's going to do some harm to you possibly, and you still going. Courage is when you got fear, but you still going, and your fear ain't stronger than your will. But you're a little scared because you might can die up in there. But your will is stronger than your fear. That's courage. And we don't got a lot of courage in the hood right now, y'all. Not from where it need to be coming from. Not from where it need to be coming from. Not from these cats that's on TV. We ain't got no courage in these cats. I was looking at a cat. I was looking at a cat. Cat was highlighting Van Jones. Van Jones. Van Jones is on television a lot. And you know, he be holding water. He be smacking the wall for the Democratic Party. Van Jones. Right? A black man. Van Jones is a black man. And I don't care who he married to, that's his business. You know, we try to get real personal with people. You know, some things ain't our business, y'all. Who that man married to ain't my business, right? At all. That ain't my business. But how that man carries himself as a public figure, and he want to open his mouth and talk about this and talk about that and suggest what black folks need to do, Van need to get better. But I tell you this, Van one of Obama boys. Van is one of Obama boys. I tell you that. That should tell you enough right there. Van is one of Obama boys. That should tell you enough right there. Van ain't got nothing but lip service for the hood. Van ain't rolling up his sleeves and getting into the hood, family. I have come to realize more and more, the older you get, the clearer you see. I am realizing more and more that it is a benefit to be black and work against black people. It is a benefit to that. You can get paid to do that. You can get paid to be a good individual that look good on paper, did everything right, ain't got no felonies, you on point, then kept your nose clean, you just doing your thing, man, you just living and moving through life. And you will help send black folks off. You will help calm black folks, don't spark no fire, and just pacify them. It's a benefit to that. It's money in that, G. It's money in sending black folks off. It's money in continuing the messaging and the lying and the sending off and the feeding the jail industry, the prison industry. It's money in that. It's money in sending black folks off. It's money in that. It's money in that, man. It's money in sending black folks off. You will be paid. You will be rewarded if you send black people off. Now that's tempting, right? We all want to make money, man. Don't we, y'all? We all want to make money. We all want to make money. We all want to make money. Don't get it twisted. We all want to live good. Don't get it twisted. But you shouldn't send your people off so you can eat. You shouldn't mislead your people so you can eat. And I promise y'all, in 10 years, these same dudes that's up talking all this, that, and the third going to be on TV somewhere crying, foaming at the mouth, trying to act like they want to give back. Watch. I'm seeing it happen every day. I'm seeing it happen every day. I'm seeing a cat like Master P. And hey, man, I ain't saying nothing new. I'm seeing a cat like Master P. You know, he want to give financial advice to people and things like that. Master P sat on his record, family, and gave the ingredients on how to cook crack. Master P murdered people. Master P sold dope. At least that's what he said, right? Then Master P, he did all that hell coming up, right? Right? He did all that hell in Louisiana, right? Do you remember when he got the contract with Disney? That's why he was on Dancing with the Stars. Y'all don't remember that though, right? And so then when P got that contract with Disney, because see, Disney has that morality clause in their contract. You understand what I'm saying? See, Disney's tell you that your behavior matters. So P had to get on. P couldn't be talking about selling crack no more because he signed a contract that say he got a morality clause. Right? You know? So he had to lay low and promote his son music and things like that, right? Remember? Y'all don't remember that? You know, you got all these cats now. All these cats that they made money off the backs of black people. All these cats that stood in that booth and their music led black men to jail and black men doing this because they listening to their music. Because the black man going to listen to another black man because we craving to hear black man. You see what I'm saying? We craving to hear black man. We craving to hear black man. We craving to see somebody that look like us in the forefront. We craving to see that. We craving to see that. We craving to see that. We craving to see a black man standing tall, being strong, that's successful. It don't matter what he come like, because now we associate success with cats, with street homies, because that's who they got in front of us. They got street homies in front of us, in front of our children, talking about this, that, and the third. Like, I think about the homies from O Block, right? I think about, like I was talking about, man, they got a beautiful mural of King Von over there, G. They got a beautiful mural of Von over there. And I also asked a question. I said, what do you think Von family want more? Do you think Von family want to be able to hug their son, hug their brother, hug their nephew, or would they rather go over there and look at his mural? Right? And you look at all the hell and all the young men that then died over there in that community and all that money they making over there. And they got a school over there. You think they putting any money in that school over there? You think they putting any money in that school over there? I'm talking about they got a school right there. Like I said, if you coming from the north and if you coming down King Drive, you're going to get the 63rd. You're going to see the L platform. They got an elevated train over there. You got an abandoned, used to be a Walgreens right there. You got a corner store at the light. If you go down the street, I'm talking about middle block, you got a grammar school right there, homie. At the beginning of O Block, there's a school. All that murder, crime, and death over there, all that murder, violence, and beating people up and selling dope and all that. You think them boys getting all that money over there, wearing all that jewelry, flossing in front of them kids? You think them boys putting some money in that school over there, family? They should, shouldn't they? They should, shouldn't they? All I'm saying, black man, is if you got it, you supposed to turn around and give it to your people. Period. Can't nobody look me in my face and justify this foolishness. If you can stand up and promote death as entertainment and knowing how it's going to influence your people, and then you don't come right back around and pour into them on the positive side, you are violating the code, man. You sending your people off in the name of a dollar. And I pray for conviction to rain upon you. I pray for conviction. I pray that you can't sleep at night. I pray that you can't sleep at night. I pray that you see the faces and the families of people of the death you promoted. I pray it haunts you at night. See, y'all, this is what I know. Like I say, the longer you live, the clearer you see. The longer you live, the clearer you see. See, young men, you're gonna grow to be older men. And see, that's the thing about men. See, our behavior, our thoughts, our actions never leave us. Everybody know what they done did. Everybody know what they've done in this world and in this society. And you're going to have a bunch of cats trying to turn around and change their life. And man, I did it wrong. And like that kid Wayne. Wayne used to be a street nigga, running the streets, acting a fool. And now he like, man, I ain't even on that no more. I ain't even on that no more. And he regret that he did the stuff that he done did. See, the key to living as a man is to have more success and less regrets. The more success you have, the more confident you'll be, the more accomplished you'll be. You know what I'm saying? You know, the better you'll feel, the more you'll have. You know, when you're successful, but when you got regrets, you're going to have a lot of sadness. And then you're going to have sadness about something you can't even fix because it's the past. And you're going to regret the behavior that you displayed and the things that you've done and the hell that you raised. You're going to regret that. And you're going to be fighting hard and long in the future to do something about that. But you can't never go back and fix the past, family. All you can do is do your best in the present and achieve in the future so you won't have regret. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying the time is now, man. The time is now. We have to stop allowing our future to be built by somebody else as a people. We have to stop allowing somebody else to build our future. And when we do that, when we stop allowing someone else to build our future and we take the reins and we take command and control of our future, then we will be successful. Then we will be able to build our future the way it needs to be built. I'm talking about building a future that's beneficial to our children. I'm not talking about building a future that's beneficial to us. We have to think about our children. We have to think about the future of our people. And cats not thinking about that. You know. So brothers and sisters, when we begin to think about our future, then we begin to change our behavior in the present. And when we do that, we then know what type of future we'll be having and walking towards, because we'll be building that future day after day, step after step, brick after brick, child after child, family after every family. Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and I want to say thank you for listening to Hood Radio. I'm your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and thank you for listening to Hood Radio. Peace. What up, Chicago?